This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
With a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from my hidden remote location here in glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. Oh boy, this is this is getting to be very strange. I hope it doesn't last much longer, but meanwhile, I am rather enjoying being here surrounded by my thousands and thousands of books and getting still to talk to all of you. I want to encourage you, really, to find, in this time, you know, it will be funny, the time seems to be dragging on, but after a little while, we're going to be through this, and then we're going to look back and we're going to say, oh, we had all that time! And we could have read more books, or we could have started writing our story. So I want you to really take a few minutes today and think about, what do I want to do? And sometimes, and I have discovered this is absolutely the best thing to do, to immerse yourself. Immerse yourself in a subject, immerse yourself in a book, immerse yourself in writing. When I was homeschooling my boys, I let them immerse themselves in whatever subject they were interested in. I think that's one of the big problems in schools, actually, is that so often a child might be interested in a subject. Really, really, just it just grabs their mind. But they have, you know, 55 minutes. I don't know how long is a classroom nowadays, 50 minutes, 55 minutes. So you just have to stop and start, stop and start. And it's not the best way to learn. So the best way to learn is really to immerse yourself. If you're going to learn French, you know, take a month and go to France and learn. Well, not right now, of course. So now you can use one of the wonderful programs that you can buy and just immerse yourself in a language or immerse yourself in a book. I recommend, you know, starting a series from the beginning. It is amazing to when you do that, when you start a book, you take a series and you follow it along and you see how the author has developed the character and how it's almost magical. After a while, when you start like book one in a series and you read it and you see, you progress along with the author, you can almost see how their mind has worked. And then it's funny, for me, I read a series, and I can then tell when an author should stop already. You know, he's worn out or she's worn out. Now, I'm just waiting for a call in, I hope. Just checking here with Ed. Is Mary Catherine on? We're going to just be talking in a minute to Mary Catherine Backstrom. Wow. This is one amazing woman. I'm so excited that she's joining me today because she can talk. And you know, the name of her blog is Mom Babble. So I think this is going to be lots of fun to talk to her about all of her ideas on kids and children and just talking and chatting away. But just waiting to get her, and this. Okay, whoa, I am so happy to welcome to Joy on Paper, Mary Catherine Backstrom. Should I call you MK? You like to be called MK, huh?
MK is perfect.
I like MK.
Great, how
well,
are you?
Well, it is such an honor to have you on. You are like a super mom blogger of the universe. And your new book is called Mom Babble. The Messy Truth About Motherhood. And, wow, this is exciting. You have, I understand that you have like 90 million people following you. Not bad.
You know, that's so funny. Yes, I had a crazy viral video this past Christmas, it was, which I've had some viral successes before, but that was just
unexpected and completely unheard of. It ended up having about 100 million views. I can't even fathom or picture 100 million of anything. I tried to put like 100 million, you know, you try and picture what that even looks like. You can't.
I know. And the funny thing is, it is about something that I wish I had thought of, because Wawa's is a very special place, isn't it?
Oh, gosh. You know, what I have noticed is, well, of course, you're a Floridian. So, yeah, we're a big fan of the Wawa. And when I started talking about the Wawa and this video went viral, I learned very quickly that people are passionate about their local gas stations. You know, there is a thing about regional gas stations that people are fans of. It's like a football team. You have your gas station that you cheer for. And I learned a whole lot about the regional gas station. So now the next time I travel, I'm going to go to the regional equivalent of everybody's Wawa.
Well, now this is very funny, because I have also experienced this happening in Wawa's. First time I went, I think when they first opened up around here, a gentleman in front of me paid for my coffee. And I was like shocked. I was like, my attitude was, what's wrong with you? You know, like, why are you buying me coffee? What do you want from me? And he just paid for it. And I was, you know, and said, have a nice day. And it was so shocking. And afterwards I realized, well, I don't know. And then over the period of time, I saw more and more. This happened quite often in a Wawa's, where people would pay. And at one time, I had this wonderful opportunity. Somebody, a young lady, was short of money. She was paying for her petrol and stuff, and she was short of money, you know, like $3. And I tell you, I put that $3 there so fast. You know, she's like looking for coins. And I was so, it just gave me such a good feeling. So when what you did, explain what you did and what it led to.
Okay. So I am a huge fan of Christmas. It is my favorite thing in the world. I am like Buddy the Elf. My friends make fun of me at Christmas time. And so I was feeling the Christmas spirit, and I went into the Wawa to get my Coke Zero with crushed, you know, the cubed ice. It's the best kind. The chipped ice, that's the reason I go. And I decided I was going to buy the person behind me in line drink. So I bought the lady's ginger ale. And I was just so high on the Christmas spirit. I walked out the door, and I see this gentleman cleaning my windshield. And I go, oh, my goodness, this is just so exciting and so nice. And so I walk up to him. I go, sir, this is my favorite time of year, and I just love this part of humanity, and I just love Christmas. And I give him this huge hug, and the just look of complete shock and, honestly, horror on this man's face. I realized very quickly he is cleaning his own windshield. It is not my car. And I have made a huge mistake.
It's a wonderful video. I admit I clicked on it right away.
Well, I just start dying laughing. So instead of explaining to this man that this is a huge mistake and sorry, I just start laughing so hard I can't explain myself. And I just walk away and get in my car. And, get in my car and pull over two spaces and start making a video about it, which was not weird at all, I'm sure, to him.
You have such a wonderful attitude, and you, in general, you're so delightful. And I've been watching some of your Facebook. I love how you put on makeup in the morning. Just I love that. And I love your little saying. I think that nobody's looking at your face if you smell like a sock.
If you smell like a sock.
Yeah. You are so funny.
Looking at your face. Thank
well,
you,
so you know.
Thank you.
Tell us about the book. Tell us about how you started Mom Babble.
Yeah.
Now, tell you that I was a homeschool mom for 20 years. I had the absolute joy of living with my kids 24/7.
Oh, you did the hard work. You have put in your time. Mom Babble was born on accident, actually. This book started out as a blog. It was a small blog that was created. I originally was a career mom. I was working in commercial real estate as a business manager when I was pregnant with my son, Benjamin. And when I had my son, I went back to work almost immediately. I think probably within 3 weeks. It was very intense. And, you know, the cost of childcare, I was living in Orlando, Florida, and trying to pump and breastfeed and keep up with work. And I just remember getting up in the morning and just feeling exhausted. I felt like I was half an employee and half a mom, and I was not doing well at any of those things. And then at the end of the week, my paycheck barely covered childcare. And I kept asking myself, why am I doing this? I wasn't fulfilled in my career. And I used to love it. And, you know, it's a wonderful thing if somebody's able to do that. But come the end of the week, it became very clear that I was unable to do it. And I was suffering very badly from postpartum depression. And so the decision was made that I was going to be a stay-at-home mom pretty quickly. And I fell into that life. It was on accident. It wasn't really the plan. And so I ended up being at home with this baby, and I was like, oh, my goodness. My husband's a resident physician, so he was working like 60 hours a week. And it was just me and this baby. And, you know, that's always a shock, I think, to the system anyways, you becoming a parent. And I needed an outlet for processing my thoughts, but I was just struggling so deep with a mental illness and my postpartum depression. And what happened is I started a blog, and I thought this will be a good place to kind of capture some stories and share them with my mom. And over the course of a couple of years, that blog created a little community that helped me get through some challenging parenting struggles and some difficult mental illness. And after a couple years, it grew into something with 10,000 followers and 100,000 followers. And the next thing I knew, I went from being a blogger to a full-time writer. And about the same time this Ellen video came out, I had gotten my first actual book deal. And they came to me and said, this was actually before the video. It was a huge blessing. I'll tell you this kind of a cool story. I had been blogging for about 5 years when this company called Abington Press came to me and asked if I was willing and interested to write a book. And I was excited. I'm not going to lie. You know, it was never on the top of my rock star dream list to be an author. But I'd had a lot of interesting dreams. So I'd always thought about being an astronaut and a rock star. And I'd thought about being all kinds of interesting things. So why not give author a chance? And so, yes, I will accept this book deal. And they said, well, why don't we call it Mom Babble after your blog, and we will honor where you started, and we'll do a parenting book. And I was so excited about this. So I prayed about it, and I came back and thought, you know what we'll do? I will, because this is a small publishing house, and this is my first book deal, and I'm very excited about this, I am going to give this book back. Like, I felt like it fell on my lap. It was this huge blessing. I felt like God had just given me this great gift. I'm going to give it back in a way, by tying it to charity and giving 100% of my proceeds to the Mighty Acorn Foundation, which is this amazing organization that runs an orphanage in Kenya. And so before I ever went viral, I decided, I'm going to do, this is going to be a little book, no big deal, just a small book, sell a couple hundred copies. And so I tied this book to a charity and gave 100% of my royalties away. And this is what God does in my, this is, of course, I'm a person of faith. And so you have to laugh. I tie the book to charity, and what happens? I go super viral. I end up on Ellen. The book gets picked up by Target, Barnes & Noble, and it ends up being a wonderful success. And so I'm thrilled, because this charity is going to benefit like wonderfully from this. And hopefully it's going to change a lot of lives in Kenya. And also I'm extremely proud of the book. I think it's a beautiful book. It's got a lot of heartfelt stories. I think it's going to make some parents feel less alone. And I just think the whole project has heart. So I'm so proud of it. And, you know, thank you for letting me come on the show to talk about it, because this has become a project that I would have never seen coming into my life. But now that it's here, I'm like, wow, this is going to be.
Oh, well, I've got a kick out of you thinking it was going to be a small book and giving away all your royalties, which I think of all the charities that you could have chosen, it's one that is actually very close to my heart because I'm very interested in Kenya, and so I was thrilled with that. I hope that you didn't give away your movie rights because I know you'll make it up in a movie deal. So, you know,
I still stand by the fact it was the right thing to do. I'm thrilled to death. I just think it's so funny how you think, oh, it's just going to be a small project. Let's tie it to charity. And then, you know, I think that's probably why it's doing so well.
Exactly. It was meant to be. That's what an expression my mother-in-law always would say in Yiddish. Beshert, it was meant to be, and it was meant to be that you would give royalties to this book, which is going to help so many people in Kenya, and they really, really need it. But it's also making you famous so that you'll get the movie deal, and then you'll be able to say, well, I would like so-and-so to play me in the movie.
Right. Oh, yeah. Ooh, let me think of who that might be. Oh, so many fun people. So many fun. That's always a fun game, is who would play you in a movie, right?
Exactly. Well,
great.
Actresses will be, you know, just vying to take on this project and to play you, because you have in your stories. I mean, I was a screenwriter, so I reading your book and reading, going back and reading some of your vlogs, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, oh, this is a perfect scene for the movie. This is a perfect scene for the movie. I would do this scene. You know, whether it's the in the store where they give your kids balloons.
Oh my gosh!
I love that. I mean, that would be a scene in the movie if I was writing the script for this book.
I think. I mean, you know what? Get your people in touch with my people because we don't have any movies in the works, and why not?
Oh, they have to. What do you mean they don't? Oh, my, this has to get to the right people in Hollywood. I'm telling you, I would go crazy writing this script. It would be so much fun. I would want an actress who had, you know, you're in Florida now, so you don't quite have your southern accent. I love when you have your little bit more southern accent. So some actress will really be able to take on that role.
Radio show, darling.
It's going to be a hit movie, I tell you. So tell us so that we know some of the funny, and we know that, you know, you touch on the serious side of things. You touch on the difficult side and the things that you went through. But because we sort of need something cheerful here, tell us some of the funny scenes that you would select for the movie out of the many things that you have done with your children, and some of them are quite hilarious.
Oh my gosh. I mean, if I could see somebody else go through it, it would be funny. My favorite story, it was not my favorite thing to experience, was probably Starbutt, in which my son wrapped his head up like a lollipop in my dress at Starbucks and then could not get out. And was freaking that he was suffocating.
Oh, don't make me laugh.
I'm good. He was exposed. Yeah. Oh, yeah. My entire dress was wrapped around his head, and my panties were showing to the whole store, and he was yelling for help, and I couldn't get him out. And, you know, and how do you even start? Because that was just incredible. And then I guess a fan of mine was in the store, or he claimed to be a fan, and had bought my coffee because the whole experience was so hilarious to him. That was special, and I think that would play out pretty well on camera.
that would be one of the ones that they'd have in the promo for the whole thing. It would be fantastic.
Or the time I accidentally got in somebody else's minivan. That was pretty good too. Realizing slowly that I was in the wrong car. That was a good one. But, you know, there's just so many parenting moments that are like that. I feel like every time I share a story that just seems so outlandish and ridiculous, my audience assures me that I am not the only crazy person. That's the funniest thing to me. The more ridiculous my stories are, the more they're like, oh, my gosh, this would happen to me. And I'm like, really? And they're like, yes. So I guess life is just that crazy. Some of us just don't talk about it.
Well, as I said, I was a homeschool mom, and it was, for me, those were the most wonderful, wonderful years of, particularly when they were young. When they were young, it was really sort of rolling on the floor and laughing and giggling so much of the time and learning. I was never a person who said, you know, you have to learn this at this time. I always went with the flow, whatever they wanted to learn, whatever they wanted to do. And of course, we read a lot. From an early age, my boys were like connoisseurs of used books. They'd head to a used bookstore and find always the best, you know, the best Hardy Boys or the best, you know, book in. And then they would buy it, and they have, now we have this collection. I've got thousands of these books around me. I've got every Hardy Boys, every Nancy Drew, every one of these books, because that's what they would buy.
Oh, those are the best. I loved the Nancy Drew and the Hardy Boys. Oh, my goodness. My sister has I feel like they were a soft yellow color. Weren't the Nancy Drew all soft yellow, or was that a different one?
No.
There was Babysitter's Club, too. You remember?
Well, so now, how old are your kids right now?
My children are 6 and 4.
Oh, beautiful age.
My four-year-old, it really is a precious time. I realize that. I feel like a couple of years ago, I was in the trenches of new parenthood, and I was always wishing they were a little bit bigger. I don't wish that right now. I'm actually very happy with where they are, because they still both want to snuggle with me, but we do have enough independence that if, for instance, I get really sick and I'm home by myself, they can make themselves a snack. So that's kind of been my like threshold. I'm like, oh, I like the age where they can make themselves a snack and still want to hold my hand. That is a great age.
And still, you can still tickle them and hug them and kiss them and tease them, and it's a wonderful time.
Yes, they still are interested. They still think I'm cool. They're not.
That's it. And it really is magical to see. And now let's talk about, you know, so many parents are now home and for the first time spending real time with their children, and you know, because I went through that. I had, as I said, 24/7. Other than when my problem with my kids, they started to get smart real fast, and so they started to need tutors when they were like 7 years old, because I couldn't do advanced math. But tell us about what do you want to tell parents now who are home with their kids?
Well, what to tell them? It's so hard. I think a lot of parents have been thrown into the schooling, which I think is, I did a video about this just the other day, because I feel like parents are struggling really hard right now trying to take on multiple roles in the household. And the most important role that I think they need to focus on is the role of parent, because children are stressed right now. And I think you would agree with me on this. We give a lot of society sells children short. They are a lot smarter emotionally and intellectually than we give them credit for. They understand what's going on. There's a lot of emotional stress about the changes in their world. And I think to have a parent in the home who's all of a sudden they're home, they are out of sorts, they're trying to work, they're trying to parent, they're trying to teach. If you have to choose one role during the day that you have to wear a hat, if it comes down to it, try and set work aside. Definitely set school aside. Your children need you first and foremost as a parent. Everything else can get caught up on. It really can. But in this time when the kids are really trying to look to you for guidance, is this okay? Am I okay? Is the world okay? Right now, they just need you to be a parent. And to whatever degree you can manage that, that's my advice. And I've had to do the same thing. I have writing deadlines that have gotten pushed back. Frankly, I've had, I would like to say that exercise is not important to me. I don't know why I would even pretend that it is. I try to act like it is, but I had all kinds of exercise goals for the week that just keep getting pushed back because frankly, my children need more time from me than I'm able to separate out. So we're doing little family walks instead of the alone time that I would like to go for a run. I'm focusing on them. I'm making time for them. But you know what I'm loving, Joy? The thing that I'm enjoying the most right now is I feel like we're starting to see a version of our country that is almost like Norman Rockwell. I see parents playing in the yard with their kids, and I don't remember having seen anything like this since I was a child. And it's like people are rediscovering things that they haven't done with their families since they've had families. And I count myself among that. We've had dinner around the family table more times in the last 2 weeks than we probably have in a year. So it's, you know, this is a stressful time, but you're going to rediscover some pretty beautiful things that I think we're going to all want to keep in our new family dynamic. And so, you know, take a breath and just remember what matters the most. That's the only advice I have.
Well, you know, it is funny you mentioned about seeing people outside. I live in one of these neighborhoods, well, and I drive through a neighborhood that big houses, beautiful lawns, you never see anybody.
Right.
About 3 years ago, I actually saw three children playing outside in the yard, and I actually slowed my car because I never see children. And now, I mean, they're giant houses. There must be children in there somewhere. And I saw these three children playing, and I stopped, sort of slowed my car. I thought, well, that's nice. Boy and a girl, you know, playing, and a big sister sitting there reading. And then it occurred to me, because I looked at them and I saw that they were all really dressed well. You know, the boy had a white shirt and short pants,
right,
and the
right.
girls had. And then I said, they must be foreigners, you know, visiting from Europe somewhere, because you don't see kids outside here. And now you're right; it's beautiful to see the children out there and the parents, and they are. You know, there's distance because, boy, these lawns are big, but
yep.
they're in their yards and they're playing and they're, it's so cute to see this again.
Yeah, it is. And I've learned to let my children do things that my anxiety had really kept me from letting them do. And it's been good for them too. I have a 6-year-old son who I have frankly been a little bit of a helicopter around, and I let him walk our street and collect little treasures off the sidewalk. And, you know, I sit in our yard and I watch him, but I'm not following him around like a hound dog. And he is learning a little bit of independence, and he's loving it. You know, he came running inside the other day with a scraped knee, and the look on his face was, he was thrilled. Like, hey mom, look at this incredible thing I did. I got hurt and you weren't watching. You know, and I just was like, oh, wow, this is the childhood that I had, you know, because I really cannot be around him 100% of the time right now. It is not possible. I also have a 4-year-old, and I also have a home to clean and to cook. And, I mean, if he wants to have outdoor time, it's going to, you know, to a degree, some of it's going to be unsupervised. And so we're doing the best we can. And some of it's resulting in these organic moments of children being outside and playing like they used to. And it's amazing, actually.
And in the house, you know, as I said, because I homeschooled, I turned our house off, and I would just turn it into an adventure land. I would hide clues. I would do treasure maps. I would send them on searches around the house for treats. And whether, you know, I would do a map of Africa, which is why your thing with Kenya is so really relevant to me, because that was one of the fun things that we did. We would go on these safaris around the house, and I would have all the stuffed animals all over the place. And as they got older, I would put, you know, the actual Latin names of the animals, and they would have to find clues. They would go find spices and honey and all sorts of things. And just forget about messes. Forget about, you know, if you don't worry about anything like that. That all of that can be cleaned up afterwards. But just enjoy the time that you have
exactly.
with your kids right now.
And it's been so precious. And you know what's funny is, my son loves his school. And, you know, we'll be thrilled when it reopens, I'm sure. But I asked him the other day. I said, "Son, do you miss school?" He goes, "No, I love being home with you." And my heart melted. You know, I think what's funny is when we ask our young kids in about 10 years, what do you remember about this summer when, you know, the coronavirus broke out? I think they're going to remember it very differently than we do, because they're going to remember us spending a ton of time with them.
Exactly, and I think it's so important. Now, for you, of course, you have another thing in your life. Let's talk a little bit about your husband. Is he working in the ER now?
Yes, he is. He's actually, he works pretty regularly right now. Shifts are picking up a little bit. Certain, nurses and physicians are having to quarantine occasionally when they're exposed. And he is on the front lines of this thing. And originally that was acutely very scary. I think we've just kind of grown into being more comfortable with what it is. And you can't stay stressed out all day, every day. So now we're just living with that level of, well, one day we might find out that he tests positive and then we'll have to quarantine him somewhere else. That's not home, I guess. And we're grateful for everything he does. We're grateful that the hospital has been able to provide sufficient protective wear. And we pray for him every day. And then he comes home to our family and disinfects everything he can. And that's our life. It's very odd.
It is. And I know all of my listeners want to say special thank you to him and to all of the healthcare workers, all of the people who, work in the grocery stores
Right.
They're quite amazing. And especially my father was a Teamster. And so I'm very, I'm always really great to truck drivers. If I'm, in a line and there's a truck trying to get into the street, I always let the truck driver come through. And so now we can see why we have to really appreciate these people. They work hard, and they're giving so much, and they're taking so many chances for us.
And there's so many different, and, my husband's one of the obvious, I call him a hero. He's one of the obvious heroes, but there's so many unseen heroes. There's the cafeteria workers at the hospital and the cleaning crew, and there's all sorts of people that are behind the scenes that are still making this world go round. And a big thank you to them, because, like you said, the grocery store workers, my goodness, who would have thought they're so essential. None of us would be getting anything done without our grocery supplies workers and our delivery services. And I'm just so grateful to everybody that's still working, because, they've kept things going for us. And it is a very surreal time, but our country has really held it together. I'm proud of us. I hope everybody's able to stay home and stay safe and stay encouraged. And if you've got little kids, stay positive. And I think I love your safari idea, Joy. I think I'm going to steal it today. As a matter of fact, when I get off this interview, I might go grab some Beanie Babies and make a safari.
Make a safari and treasure maps. They love treasure maps. They will search. They will go all, and it's great exercise. I used to crawl on the floor with them. I covered tables so that part of it they'd have to go through the deepest, darkest jungle. I covered tables with tablecloths and bedspreads and make it a real adventure.
I love it, and I'm excited about that advice, so I'm going to take it, and I'm going to go do it right now.
And, as a matter of fact, what you can do, put it on the website and tell people that you got the idea from Patsy with a Z. My name is Patzi, and it's an unusual name, so people will remember it, because this is one thing that I want everyone to know, that they should just enjoy this time. And as you said, when the kids look back, I want them to look back and say, gee, wow, my mom and dad turned the whole house into a safari land, and we went on adventures, and we went to South America, we went to Africa, we went here, we went there, and we had a grand old time.
I love it. Oh, my gosh, and Patsy, your name is so cool. I'm just looking at how it's spelled. It is,
and speaking of Teamsters, Jimmy Hoffa gave me that name. When I was a baby, I sat on his knee, and he used to call me Patsy. And so when I started school, I said my name is spelled with a Z because Jimmy said so.
I can't beat that story. So
MK, Mary Catherine Backstrom, tell us where can people, first, your website is?
Yes, sure. My website is Mary Catherine Backstrom. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and at pretty much anywhere on the internet. I can be found.
Yeah.
Go and find Mom Babble. But you find me on Mom Babble because let's pick up that book and support the Mighty Acorn Foundation. The book is sold out on Amazon right now, so you can get it at Target and Barnes & Noble and anywhere books are sold, Christian Audio, Audible, Kindle. I would love for you to download it. The book is Mom Babble, Messy Truth About Motherhood, and I am just so grateful for the time that we
And everybody, it is a preview to the film that is going to be called Mom Babble, because this is going to be a film. I know it. It's going to be so much fun for some wonderful, happy, very happy scriptwriters to work on your story, and then some actress. They'll start fighting over playing you. Isn't it going to be fun?
I thought it was screenwritten.
Okay, well, MK, it was a joy to talk to you. You have certainly found not just the joy of life, but also the joy of writing, and that's so important, and that's what I'm trying to encourage all of my listeners out there. Write and enjoy life and be like MK.
You.
She is one heck of a person, and I love your Facebook postings. I really, really love them. And people learn how to do your makeup in the morning in 4 minutes, right?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And 4 minutes or less.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye now. It was just an absolute joy to talk to you today.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Ooh, ooh, ooh. That was fun. Boy, oh boy, I just enjoy really talking to her so much. She's fascinating. You will really enjoy it. And I'm telling you, the book is funny, but it also has a serious side. It tells you, you know, some of the stresses which comes with motherhood. But mostly, I can tell you, it is a pure joy to have your kids, particularly have your kids at home. I think it's an absolute joy. I would take anybody's kids if I could right now. It'd be so much fun. But we're going to just do a promo for Johnny Clark, because Johnny Clark is a wonderful author. He's been on my program many times, and Big Ed did a wonderful promo for him. Then we're going to do the commercials, and then I'm going to come back and talk to everybody a little bit before the end of the show. Okay? Take it away, Ed.
From the author of gut-wrenching novels Guns Up and Gunner's Glory, now a gut-wrenching comedy, Section 8. One fan writes, Section 8 is inspired insanity. Johnny Clark should receive the Pulitzer Prize and his commitment papers in the same ceremony. You will laugh till it hurts. Section 8, it's 1946, and President Harry Truman has two goals in life, dump the U.S. Marine Corps and get reelected. Can he convince Congress that the Marine Corps is obsolete? He'll try, but first he wants to use them one last time. There's something he needs them to do, a little mission to China to steal something that one of his contributors need. It's dangerous, but who cares? Marines are expendable, or so he thinks. What could possibly go wrong? A lawsuit by the Vatican? An attempted assassination by a dead assassin? Flamethrower sermons? If that's not enough, there's a missing A-bomb. This book has it all. Even a love story. Remember, Section 8 is only a temporary state. You Hope, written by a true American hero. You'll love this book, now available on Amazon. So get it today. Section 8 by Johnny Clark. Semper Fi.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Have you ever faced disaster? The Red Cross is always there for you. The Red Cross responds to a call for help every 8 seconds. They have never turned anyone down. Now they need your financial support so that they can be ready to help you when the need arises. Donate online at redcross.org. Thank you.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida, can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more recording careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to Toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z, and I am back, and I have a few minutes, and I just want to talk a little bit about some of the books that I think you should just jump into and immerse yourself. But first, I want, you know, if you don't have money right now, Project Gutenberg has all of the classic books that you could ever dream about reading, and they are free, and they have both the EPUB versions, the Mobi versions, and the text version, so you can read it right on your computer. They are absolutely free. And if you have not read Jane Austen and Charlotte Bronte and Jack London, this is the time to start reading. And they're free. You just download them. Costs you nothing. They're really great. And again, you're going to look back on this time and you're going to say, well, I could have used that time in a productive way instead of just, you know, it's nice to watch reruns of television shows, and I'm sure many of you are doing that, and it can offer a lot of release. My sister, who is a connoisseur of cozy mysteries, Natalie, is having absolutely the most fun watching classic soccer games. Now, she is a great fan of soccer, and so she loves Harry Kane. She loves Harry Kane, and so she is watching the sort of classic versions of some of the great soccer games of the past. And so she's having lots and lots of fun. And you might have something, a sports show or something that you're watching, but in the end, what you're going to want to do is you're going to want to look back on this time and say, well, yeah, I really had that time, and I perhaps could have done something more with it. And that's why I'm saying immerse yourself in something. Learn a language. Read a book. My mailman, he retired a couple years ago, but he told me one day, he said to me, you know, I could have a, he realized that I have a radio show, and so one day he says to me, okay, you know, really, I could have a PhD in David Baldacci. And I didn't click on me at first. He said, and so he starts asking me questions about different David Baldacci books. And I said, how do you know these books so well? And what he did is he read every Baldacci book in order, because, of course, he's driving around in his little mail truck. He's listening to all of the Audible books. And then he re-listens, then he re-reads. And he said to me, you can ask me any question. Ask me any question. Do you want to know? I mean, now, I, of course, read David Baldacci since the beginning, but I wasn't ready to give him a quiz. And he said, really, I could do a PhD. Do you think they'd do a PhD in David Baldacci? I said, well, I don't know about that, but it would be a wonderful course for a college course. So this is what can happen. You can get yourself so enthusiastic about an author. It happened to me when I was young. From the time I was 8 to 11, I read everything that Jane Austen wrote, and I read everything that was written about Jane Austen, and I became obsessed with her. That's why when I was 21 years old, I moved to England and bought a house near where she was born. So sometimes these obsessions, they can take you out of yourself, and they can take you to a new place. They can make you think broader thought patterns. Things start clicking in your brain, and one thing leads to another. So right now, one of the series that I'm really enjoying is C.J. Box's Joe Pickett series. Now, I've only mostly flown over the West. I have never really spent much time there. I've been in a few places, Phoenix, which I suppose is really considered a big part of the Old West. But C.J. Box, has written this wonderful series that features a game warden named Joe Pickett. And right from the beginning, from the first book I read of his, which was called Open Season, and that's going back, I think, beginning of 2000. So he's been writing for a long time now. He's up to, I think, number 19, so it's probably around 2000. Anyway, when I read that book, what I loved was that he really described the West, the openness of it, the vastness of it. And I could picture it so beautifully because of his writing. And so if you're interested in, right now, because so many of you are stuck in small places, this is a time where you really want to start thinking about the wide open spaces. And I bet anybody who jumps into C.J. Box's books now, you can start right at the beginning, and that's a wonderful thing about having books online, is that you can start at the beginning of a series. And that was a brilliant book, and you can keep going on and on. And he's got a new book coming out. I'm waiting for it. It's coming out this year. It's called Long Range. So this is like number 19 or 20, I think. And you can learn a lot, but mostly he will take you to the West. And I bet after you read his books, you'll want your next vacation, you'll want to go out to the West just to be there, just to see it, just to see those open skies. And the way he describes the night sky, I realized when I went back and I was reading a few of his books, I just, I pick up a book here and there and open a page. And one of the books was about a starry sky. And I realized, as a child, of course, living in northern Michigan, we had wonderful, wonderful night skies. It was dark. There was nobody there. There's nobody. There were no lights up there. I think we had maybe two lights in the whole town, one at one end, one at the other end. And so we had beautiful skies. And I, as I was reading C.J. Box the other day, I said to myself, my goodness, how long has it been since I've seen a night sky? It's been years. A completely black sky with all those wonderful stars. So when you read C.J. Box, for a little while, you're transported out there to the West, into Wyoming, to Idaho, to open sky country. And the stories are always exciting. He's just a wonderful writer, and you will really enjoy his books. So I would highly recommend, if you're going to do some binge reading, to look at C.J. Box. And this is for men and women. Men, you'll find all, there's hunting stuff, and there's sporting stuff, and there's guns, and there's all of that excitement. But women, you'll also find that he writes a very touching story, a very, always very human story. He has three daughters, and in the books he has, Joe Pickett has one daughter, but you can see that C.J. Box really relates to women and how they think. And so that's why the C.J. Box are books for both men and women. And he's just a wonderful, wonderful guy. Wears a cowboy hat. He's a delightful person. And I'm going to play next week one of my favorite interviews that I ever had, and it's with him. Meanwhile, that's a series that you can definitely jump into, and you buy one at a time and just enjoy it, and you will love that. And again, Gutenberg is a great resource for all of you who don't have and who don't want to spend money or just want to get classics, because everything is there. And go to my webpage, radio-joyonpaper.com, and I will put up more sort of a list of binge reading books that I think, or a series that I think you should just jump into and keep busy. I don't know how much longer this is going to last, another week, few weeks, but let's come out at the end and say, oh, I could have a PhD in C.J. Box or any other writer that you think about. Also, please, just be nice to everybody, you know, in your family. I think everybody's learned a lesson here that in the end, it is the ones that we love and the ones that we care about that make our life of value. So you have an opportunity here to get in touch with everybody. Luckily, I'm close to my family. You know, I want to say a special hello to my brother, Tom and Debbie. They are in northern Michigan. They are, of course, I'm a Youper, and they are Youpers. And they had snow the other day. Snow. It was 26 degrees, and they had snow. And it's April. It's the middle of April. It's, you know, they are hardy folk up there. That's for sure. The one thing about everybody in the Upper Peninsula, they all have a lot of coffee. I think that was probably the first thing that they got. They all got a lot of coffee so that they don't care about being stuck in the house because they have long winters sometimes, and they're stuck in the house. But as long as they have coffee, and they can always make bread or make cinnamon rolls, because so many people up north do make wonderful cinnamon rolls. Oh, my goodness, I think of my aunts and, of course, my mother and the wonderful baking they did. So if you are stuck in the house, this might be the chance for you to learn how to bake and watch that British baking show. I've been trying out some of the recipes there, too. You know, there are so many things that you can do during this downtime that you might not normally have time to do, so do them. And one of them, of course, is start researching your family and a book about your family, because there's a story in you. There's a story in all of us, at least one good book in every family. You have one character, one somebody who did something that you can build a story around. Hopefully it's not a murderer or something, but one nice person who did something wonderful, in the war, in life, and start doing research, if nothing else, if you don't start writing. Because, as I've always told you, you know, really start writing. Because one of the joys of life is to see your words on paper, or to hear them spoken in an audible book, or if you're very, very lucky, to hear those words. And they are magic words, lights, camera, action, and your book will be turned into a major motion picture, a streaming video, a television series, and that's, I think, a streaming video, I don't know, a major motion picture, I think, for MK, for her wonderful book, Mom Babble. It's available. Sold out on Amazon. Can you imagine? Do you realize how many copies that means sold? A lot. And some people in Kenya are very lucky that she donated all her proceeds to them. Meanwhile, say something nice to somebody today. I will say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. Thank you, Ed, for everything. Thank you for all that you do. Stay safe there and keep everybody else safe. And I'm looking forward to getting back to the studio soon. Anyway, everybody, have a wonderful day, and just remember, be good, be kind to everybody. Bye-bye now.